The Octavia Flynn Public Library presents Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. A queen sat sewing by the window on a winter day. The snow fell outside, the black boughs of the trees shook and trembled in the gale. A gust rattled the window pane, and the queen pricked her finger with the needle. "Oh," she cried, as three drops of blood fell onto her handkerchief. But then she smiled. "I wish," she said, "that my little daughter, soon to be born, will have hair as black as winter bark, skin as white as the snow, and lips as red as those drops of blood. I wish that she may be as beautiful as this day." And she wound the handkerchief around her finger and went on embroidering a hood for the little baby soon to be born. Soon enough, when the little princess came into the world, no one had ever seen such a beautiful child. Her eyes were deep blue, her hair was as soft and black as the branches of the trees in winter, her lips were as red as blood, and her skin was white as snow. So she was called Snow White. She was friendly and kind to everybody, and the whole world loved her, except for one person. Sadly, her mother, the queen, had died when Snow White was born, and after a year of mourning, the king had married again, and his choice was a bad one. The new queen, though very beautiful, was a witch, descended from a long line of witches. She had an evil nature and took a dislike to little Snow White from the very start. This dislike turned to hate as the child grew, for the queen could not bear the idea that anybody might be more beautiful than she was. And soon it became clear that Snow White's looks might surpass her own. The queen had a magic mirror. It had been stolen over 100 years ago by her great-great-grandmother from a powerful enchanter who lived far away in the eastern desert. The mirror was a round one, made of crystal and ivory and framed in a circle of rubies. It had the power of giving a true answer to any person who looked into its depths and asked a question. So, from time to time, when she combed her hair and put on her crown, the queen would take the mirror from its box, made of pear wood and lined with white dove's feathers, and hold it in her hand and stare into its depths and ask, "Mirror, mirror in my hand, who's the fairest in the land?" Then a mist would cloud over the crystal surface of the mirror, and it would wait a moment in sulky silence. For in truth, the mirror disliked the queen and longed to return to its true owner. But it was obliged to tell the truth always, and it would answer, "Not a soul in the land is seen half so handsome as you, O queen." But one day, when the princess Snow White was 7, and the queen asked her question, the mirror replied in a tone of triumph, "Everyone's beauty must pass away. You were the fairest till yesterday, but now Snow White, the lovely maid, puts you completely in the shade. Your time is over, better face it. When youth is gone, you just can't chase it." The queen was so enraged by this that she asked the same question again twice. She could not believe what she heard. Each time the mirror gave her the same reply, she slammed the glass back into its box and decided that Snow White must die at once, without delay. Luckily for her, the king was away on a long journey to the other side of his realm. The queen sent for her chief huntsman and told him to take Snow White far into the forest, kill her, and bury her. The huntsman trembled with horror, but he dare not disobey. He told Snow White that he was going to take her on a picnic, and they rode off into the forest, she on her pony and he on his big, trusty horse. But when they had gone a long, long way, his heart betrayed him. He took pity on the beautiful child. He could not bear to do what the wicked queen had ordered. "You must run away," he told Snow White. "Run far into the forest and never come back, for your stepmother wants you dead." But I'm afraid of the forest beasts." "They are not so dangerous as the queen." The huntsman left Snow White crying and trembling under a tree. He rode back to the palace, leading the pony, and told the queen that Snow White was dead. Meanwhile, Snow White herself had wandered farther and farther into the forest, over 7 hills and through 7 valleys, until night was near, and she was so tired that she could barely drag herself along. She was terrified of the beasts she saw, bears and wolves, lynxes and savage wild boars, but they did not harm her. Luckily, just after nightfall, she came in sight of a little thatched cottage in a tidy clearing, with rows of vegetables, a well, a rose bush by the door, covered with roses. Snow White was also afraid of outlaws and giants, and dragons and goblins, all of whom were said to live in the forest. But this looked like such a neat, friendly dwelling that she felt sure that no wicked person lived there. So she tapped on the door. Nobody answered. "Well, I will just go in and sit down for a while," thought Snow White, whose legs were so tired they would hardly hold her up. She opened the door and went in. The cottage was as neat inside as the garden outside. There was a table laid with a white cloth. On the cloth were 7 little plates, 7 little bowls, 7 little knives, and 7 little spoons. There were 7 little glasses and 7 little loaves of bread. There was a bowl of fruits and nuts, a pitcher of milk, a platter of cheese. Over the fire hung a pot of warm soup, slowly cooking. Against the far wall there were 7 little beds covered with 7 little patchwork quilts. Snow White sat down on a stool to wait for the 7 little people who lived there to come back. But she was so hungry and thirsty that after a while she thought, "Well, I will just take a nibble from one loaf. They won't mind that, will they?" And then she thought, "Well, I will just take a sip of soup from one bowl. No one would object to that." And then she thought, "Well, I will take a tiny drink of milk from one glass. They will hardly notice." And then she thought, "Well, if I just take one apple from a bowl, there are 9, and I counted 4. And then she thought, "Well, I will just take a small slice of cheese. It's a big piece of cheese. One slice won't show." And then she thought, "Well, I will just take one grape from the bunch. One is neither here nor there." And then she thought, "Well, I will just take one walnut. There's a whole bowl full after all." Then, as the owners of the cottage still had not come home, Snow White was so very, very tired and sad, she thought, "I will just lie down on one of these beds for a few minutes. They do look so comfortable." So she did, and she soon fell fast asleep. Now, late in the evening, the owners of the house came along. They were 7 dwarfs, brothers who earned their living by mining gold and other precious metals in the mountains. They worked very hard every day, from dawn till dusk. As soon as they came in, they took their places at the table to eat their supper. Their names were Fred and Ted, Ike and Mike, Tim and Sim, and the youngest, Sacheveril, who was called Satchy by all of his brothers. Satchy went to the fire to get the cauldron of soup, but Mike said, "Someone has chewed off a bit of my bread." And Ike said, "Someone has eaten soup from my bowl." And Fred said, "Somebody has taken a drink from my glass." Ted said, "There's an apple core on my plate." Tim said, "Somebody's been eating the cheese." Sim said, "There's a grape missing." And Satchy said, "There's a walnut shell on the table." All the dwarves began looking around the room, but Satchy found Snow White and whispered, "Shh, hush, everybody, there's a most beautiful girl lying fast asleep on my bed." They all crowded around his bed and looked and wondered, and they all agreed that Snow White was the most beautiful girl they had ever seen. "Don't wake her," whispered Mike, "she does look so tired." So they let her sleep in peace, and Satchy, whose bed she lay in, slept on the floor. In the morning, when Snow White awoke, they gave her a delicious breakfast of bread and milk and grapes. They were so kind and friendly that she felt able to trust them, so she told them that she was the king's daughter, and that her wicked stepmother wanted to kill her. "You must stay here with us," said Satchy at once. "Here in the forest you will be safe from her wickedness." For of course he did not know about the queen's magic mirror. "Yes, yes," cried Fred and Ted, Ike and Mike and Sim and Tim. "Stay here with us, and you shall be our dear little sister." "But how can I repay you?" Snow White said anxiously, who wanted anything to stay. "Very easily. You can sweep and dust for us, sew and mend for us, knit and cook for us." Snow White had never done housework before, but was happy to learn. She learned how to care for the hens and the geese, collect the eggs, pick peas and strawberries in the neat little garden, bake bread and make butter and cheese. She was as happy as the day is long, far happier than she had ever been in the palace, with the queen's angry eyes always watching her, and the queen's harsh voice always scolding. Weeks, then months went by, and then years went by. But what of the queen? Had she not looked in her mirror for a long time, so confident that she and the huntsman had carried out her orders? For he, a prudent man, had left the palace after telling the lie about Snow White's death. But one day, feeling low-spirited, for she had a pimple on her chin, the queen decided to cheer herself up by having a talk with her mirror. So she took it from its pearwood box and nest of dove feathers. "Mirror, mirror in my hand, who's the fairest in the land?" To her horrified surprise, the mirror replied in a tone of deep satisfaction, "Far in the forest, safe from spells, with 7 brothers, Snow White dwells." In all the world there's none so fair, she is the best beyond compare. Little Snow White, the lovely maid, truly puts you in the shade. The queen was so furious to hear that Snow White was not dead that she nearly flung her mirror on the floor and smashed it. But she restrained herself and slammed it back into the box. Then the queen put a smoke spell on the birds to make them tell her where in the forest Snow White lived. The queen painted her face with walnut juice and disguised herself as an old peddler woman before setting off for the dwarf's cottage. When she arrived there, she knocked at the door and called out, "Fine laces, pretty ribbons, buckles and buttons and beads, braids and bangles, brooches, all cheap, all very, very cheap." Snow White had not seen any pretty things since she left the palace, and by this time her own clothes were becoming worn and grimy. So she ran to the door and let the pretend old woman in. And with a couple of pennies that were all she had in her pocket, she bought a pair of scarlet ribbons to fasten to her bodice. "Let me fasten them for you," said the queen, and she pulled the laces so tight that Snow White gasped and cried out and fell to the floor in a deep faint. "That fixed you," said the queen, satisfied, and she darted off before the seven brothers returned. When they came back, the dwarves were horrified to see Snow White stretched out, apparently lifeless, on the ground. Carefully, Saatchi lifted her up, and when they could see it was the tight ribbons that had done the mischief, when these were cut, Snow White began to breathe normally again, and soon she was as well as before. She told the story of what happened, and the dwarves had no trouble in guessing that it was the wicked queen who had come to the cottage, so they warned Snow White never again to let anybody into the house, and she promised that in the future she would be more careful. Meanwhile, the wicked queen had hurried home to the palace, washed the walnut juice from her cheeks, and taken out her mirror. "Mirror, mirror, in my hand, who's the fairest in the land?" But to her rage and horror, the mirror replied, "Far in the forest, safe from spells, with seven brothers, Snow White dwells. Snow White is the fairest under the sun. She makes you look like a cinnamon bun." The queen was so furious that she almost threw her mirror out the window, but she had mastered her anger and slapped it back into its box. Then she disguised herself as a Spanish gypsy and filled a tray with combs and spangled fans and hair ornaments of every kind and made her way again over the seven hills and seven valleys until she came to the dwarf's cottage. She banged on the door and called, "Fine combs to sell, pearl and coral, ivory and tortoise shell, trinkets for your hair, spangled and frosted and gilt. Come see, come see." But Snow White put her head out the window and said, "Lady, I am not allowed to let you in or leave the house. I cannot buy your wares." And however much the queen tried to persuade her, she would not open the door. And then the queen said, "At least try this comb in your hair. See how well it would go with your bonny black locks." And then she held up a comb that sparkled with tiny stones bright as diamonds. Snow White could not resist it, and she put her head farther out the window and let the lady put the comb in her hair. But the comb was poisoned, and as soon as it touched her head, Snow White fell backward onto the floor, stiff, white, and cold as if dead. "That has surely done her in," gloated the queen, and she hurried away back to the palace. She lost no time in getting out her mirror. But meanwhile, the seven brothers had come home from their work in the mines and were greatly shocked and distressed to find Snow White lying apparently dead on the floor. However, when they lifted her up, the poisoned comb fell from her hair, and she was soon well again. The brothers scolded her and warned her again to never be so foolish as to let a strange person into the house. "But I didn't let her in," pleaded Snow White. "Well, don't buy anything from anybody," said Saatchi, and Snow White promised that she would not. Far away, in the palace, the queen said to her mirror, "Mirror, mirror, in my hand, who is the fairest in the land?" The mirror's answer came loud and triumphant. "Far away over seven hills with seven brothers, Snow White dwells. She is the fairest under the moon. She makes you look like a wrinkled prune." And the queen nearly burst with rage, and she nearly threw her mirror into the fire, but stopped herself in time and thrust it back into its box. She then used all her magic arts to make a poisoned apple. It looked exactly like a real juicy apple. Bright red on one side, red and yellow striped on the other, it was so shiny and juicy and tempting that it would make anybody's mouth water just to look at it. One side was deadly, one side was harmless. This time the queen disguised herself as a shepherdess with a flock of sheep and made her way back to the dwarf's cottage. She knocked on the door and called out, "Please, can you give me a drink of water? I am so very thirsty." Snow White put her head out the window. "I am not allowed to let anybody in, but there is a sweet water in the well. You are welcome to wind up yourself a bucketful." "Thank you, kind girl," said the pretend shepherdess. "Would you like a bite of my apple?" And she held the poisoned apple up to the window. Snow White was very tempted. But then she said, No, I am not allowed." "Oh, come," said the shepherdess. "This is a perfectly good apple. It won't hurt you. Look, I will take a bite of it myself." And she took a bite, careful to make sure it was on the red and yellow striped side, which was harmless. Snow White could not resist. She leaned out of the window and took a good bite on the red side of the apple that the shepherdess held up to her. As soon as the poisoned apple entered her mouth, she fell down dead, stiff, and motionless on the cottage floor. "Now she's really had it," said the queen, and she clapped her hands to make her magic flock of sheep disappear and made her way back to the palace. And this time, when she asked the mirror, "Mirror, mirror, in my hand, who is the fairest in the land?" The mirror sighed and replied, "You are the fairest, it must be said, for poor Snow White is really dead." For when the seven dwarfs came home that evening, they could not find a way of reviving Snow White. They undid her ribbons, they combed her hair, they washed her with water and wine, but she remained stiff and cold and lifeless. The poor brothers were so sad that they wept for a week. "She was so kind and friendly," said Fred. "And such a good cook," said Ted. "And kept the house so tidy," said Mike. "And told such lovely stories," said Ike. "And mended our socks so well," said Tim. "And sang such beautiful songs," said Sim. "She was such a dear, good, sweet little sister, and I loved her so," wailed Sachi. As the brothers could not bear to part with Snow White, they made her a glass coffin and laid her in it, and set the coffin on top of a great rock in the mountainside, and one of the brothers always kept watch beside it. All the birds came and grieved, too. An owl, a dove, a hawk, perched on the rock beside the coffin. The owl hooted, and the dove cooed, and the hawk screamed. They did this day and night for a year, and then another year, and Snow White never changed. Her lips remained as red as blood, her skin as white as snow, her hair soft and black as the winter bark of trees. One day, a young prince came riding by. He saw the coffin, and he read the gold writing on it, which said, "This is the body of Snow White, a king's daughter who was wickedly murdered." The young prince was struck to the heart by the sight of Snow White. He fell in love with her on the spot, and he begged the dwarves to let him take the glass coffin with Snow White in it back to his own castle in the mountains. "I shall soon be king of the Western Isles," he told the dwarves. "I will take the best possible care of the beautiful lady, I promise you, whereas if she stays here, you will all grow old in time, and who will keep watch over her then? Wild beasts may break the glass coffin." At last, the seven brothers agreed to let the prince take Snow White. He came back for her with a gold carriage drawn by 6 white horses, and 20 knights in armor with black plumes on their helmets to walk in front and behind. But when the glass coffin was lifted off the rock, the movement shook the poisoned apple out of Snow White's mouth. First she stirred, and then she opened her eyes. Why, what has happened? Where am I?" Everybody was thunderstruck. The little dwarves were delirious with joy. They danced, they shouted, they pulled the lid off the coffin, and Sachi helped Snow White to her feet. She stretched and trembled and laughed with happiness to be back among her friends again. Then she saw the young prince kneeling at her feet. "Beautiful Snow White, will you marry me," he said, "and be the queen of the Western Isles, and make me the happiest of men?" "Willingly, dear prince," said she, "if I may bring my friends the dwarves with me." And of course he said yes to that. So the prince took Snow White back to his castle, and the invitations to a great wedding feast were sent out. The wicked queen received an invitation, and anxious to make sure that her beauty was still unrivaled, she took her mirror out from its pearwood box and nest of dove feathers. "Mirror, mirror, in my hand, who is the fairest in the land?" The mirror, in a tone of unmistakable glee, "Over the mountains, far away, they celebrate Snow White's wedding day. She will be queen of the Western Isles, and all her life will be crowned with smiles. She is the fairest the whole world through, and she makes you look like a worn-out shoe." When the wicked queen heard these words, she fell into such a passion that she hurled the mirror onto the marble floor, and it broke into a thousand pieces. One of these pierced the queen to the heart, and she died on the spot. The rest of the splinters flew together into a ruby and crystal cloud. The wind carried this cloud far, far off to the desert, where the enchanter lived, who had first made the mirror and was its true owner. When the sparkling cloud came sailing out of the sky, he caught it in his hands and molded it into a ball, and he smiled as he did so. "I will make sure that you are never stolen again," he said, "for you have caused too much harm." The prince and Snow White had a splendid wedding feast. The seven dwarves were there, gaily dressed in their best clothes, and the kind huntsman who had spared Snow White's life heard about it and came back from the foreign land where he had taken refuge. Best of all, Snow White's own father, who had long thought his daughter had died, came to give the bride away. And all the wedding guests feasted and danced and sang the whole night through.